Welcome to the Sensory Project Show with Rachel and Jessica. We're here to share all things sensory, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and overall health and wellness from a therapist's perspective, providing raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for parents and families to implement into daily life. Thank you so much for joining us.
Just a quick reminder before we get started, we've teamed up with Advanced Brain Technologies to bring you guys a special offer on any of their products, including the listening program. Just use our code, THESENSORYPROJECT, for a discount on any of their programs. Head over to our website, thesensoryproject.com/pages/podcast to get started today. Rachel and I are both certified providers and can help you and your family experience the amazing benefits that can come from ADT's programs.
Take seven.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Sensory Project Show.
We are so excited today. We're doing an interview with Jennifer. She is on Instagram, and that's how we connected. She is the mother of a child with DIRC 1A syndrome. So she is an advocate.
You guys, I wish that you could see this interview because she is awesome.
And her little boy.
We got to meet him,
too. It's just so cute.
Adorable.
You're going to hear him during our conversation. You'll hear him. He was part of it.
Hashtag real life.
So, we're excited to share this with you.
Okay, let's jump in. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
How are you?
I am well. How about you?
We're doing good.
We're good. Yeah, we're really excited that you're here today.
I'm excited as well.
Nervous. So before we jump into our conversation, we like to ask a couple of quick questions, surprise questions, so that our listeners can kind of get to know you a little bit better. Okay. Deep down.
Your deepest, darkest secrets.
Okay, so are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, so our first question is, what is your favorite dessert?
My favorite dessert. Pretty much anything chocolate, but brownies.
Brownies?
You cannot go wrong with brownies. Are you gluten-free or dairy-free or you eat it all? So you can have the good brownies.
Like the Ghirardelli ones?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yes. Yeah. Those are the best ones. Oh, I like you already.
Didn't like you before, but now I do.
Now I do. Oh. Just kidding. Okay. So, next question. What is your morning routine like?
I get up at 6:30. Well, it depends if I get any sleep the night before. No, but usually 6:30, 6:45 to pick up his brother, JJ. Get him ready for school. I make him breakfast, get the boys ready, drive to the bus stop because of gnats. They're crazy.
Oh, icky.
Yeah, icky. So we sit in the car, we chill, and and then Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings, I'll take Jackson to his therapies, occupational therapy, speech therapy, and physical therapy.
Oh my goodness, you're so busy.
Very busy.
Oh, man.
What about on the weekends? Do you have any routines for weekend mornings?
Well, this morning, he was up at 6. I was not happy. sometimes he goes back to sleep pretty quick, but this morning, he wasn't having it. I gave him a bottle. I gave him those fruit pouches. Mm-hmm. But no, he didn't want to go back to sleep. He fought me for an hour. And so when I finally went back to sleep, I just laid on the couch till 9 o'clock.
Oh, man.
I just didn't want to do anything.
I don't blame you.
Justin likes to make breakfast on the weekend, so that's less.
That's nice.
Pancakes, right. And the mom doesn't have to do it.
Oh, good.
I love it.
Okay, so next question. What's your favorite type of exercise?
my favorite form of exercise. Right now it's I guess CrossFit and Olympic weightlifting. Those are my two favorites. Oh.
And I've seen your lifting videos on Instagram. And I'm always like, oh my God, she would kick my butt.
That is awesome. Do you feel like that helps keep you grounded and regulated and happy?
Yeah.
That's your self-care?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I love it.
Definitely.
So
cool. I try to do yoga, but it's been pretty non-existent, but yoga helps too.
Yeah. Okay, this is my favorite question.
Uh-oh.
What is your sensory quirk?
My sensory quirk. I remember you asked the... I forgot her name when I listened to the podcast last week.
Was it Meg Ann?
I think so. Like, yeah, mine is... I don't know what material it is, but when I was growing up, I can't think of the material. My mom's nails would scratch on there. I just did not like the, it skeeved me. I did not like the sound of it.
Oh, interesting.
You know what I'm talking
about? Oh, okay. Like the JanSport backpacks. Do you remember the JanSport backpacks?
I think so.
It's almost like a nylon.
Yeah, interlock. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Not like that.
I know how that is.
So like auditory?
Yes.
Yes. All right. So our last surprise question for you is, if you had to describe yourself in one word, what would it be?
Self-worth. Yeah.
So people say that about you? Yeah. Do you agree?
I do, yeah.
I feel like as a mom, that's a really good quality to have, but you have to be careful that you don't forget about yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You're the sweetest. Oh, my gosh.
I just like that she's got her kiddo in here with her.
I know.
Like he's part of the interview.
Yeah, you podcast listeners, you can't see this right now, but... he's just sitting on her lap, chilling like a villain.
Making eyes at us.
Yeah.
I know. Kicking back, his feet on the table.
All right.
All right. So now, Jennifer, can you just tell our listeners who you are?
My name is Jennifer, and I am a Marine wife. We currently live in North Carolina. And I am the founder of the Failure to Thrive No More blog.
What is it called?
Failure to Thrive No More.
Okay.
I love that.
And the reason I named it that was because, you know, when Jackson was little, he was in and out of the hospital. He was failure to thrive. He was in and out of the hospital. And when we got his diagnosis, April of 2017, you know, started to gain weight. And I wanted to document his rare disease, you know, but part, you know, just a journey. So that's why I named it Failure to Thrive No More. You know, it's a, I guess, a celebratory thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a huge milestone to get rid of that diagnosis.
That's
yeah.
True.
Oh, yeah.
So how old is Jackson now?
He's two. He just turned two in February.
Okay. And what is his diagnosis?
It's DIRK1A syndrome.
Okay, so
it's
DIRK1A.
DIRK1A syndrome. Yeah, when the lady that created the Facebook group, when she first initially started it, there was only maybe a handful of people in the group, and now we're close to 256 families that
have
the DIRK1A diagnosis in the group. So it's slowly growing.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
So... can you tell us a little bit about the diagnosis?
Yes. Well, the DIRK1A gene can be found in the 21st chromosome. So when I initially got the diagnosis, the doctor mentioned some, you know, when you look it up, some people might think it's Down syndrome because of the chromosome, but it's you know, it's not. It comes with intellectual disabilities, developmental disabilities. Some have seizures and cerebral palsy. Some are nonverbal. He's still currently nonverbal. He can sign a few things like, you know, he was doing please, but now he's just pulling his mouth for everything.
He just wants to eat everything.
And a lot of them have like an abnormal gait, so walking could be difficult. He's currently in the orthotics, the SMOs, that help with his toe walking, and, you know, pigeon toe. Some have like, you know, scoliosis and skeletal abnormalities.
So there's just a lot of different things.
Yeah, a lot of different things. All the kiddos have, you know, different... they all look the same, which is awesome. I think it's really neat. At all our baby photos, like, you can tell, right? You know, the Turquoise syndrome. It's just neat to have a group, you know, that you could relate to. You're not alone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so easy to feel isolated in your situation and feel like you're the only mom and family dealing with this, but you found 250 people, which, I mean, in the Facebook world, that's nothing.
I know.
That's nothing.
Seriously.
Oh,
that's so crazy.
I think it's great. Mm-hmm. So you said you created Failure to Thrive No More. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about what you're doing with that?
Well, when I first initially started writing, it was more of an outlet, you know, make me feel better, get my feelings out of there, and help others, you know, if you want to read my blog, you know. I started it so someone else, you know, they could relate to someone else, you mm-hmm. know, if they're going through the same journey, to hear that they're not alone is the biggest reason why I started the blog. And since I've started the blog, I've added, you know, my life as a military spouse, self-care tips, and my love for health and fitness, and I recently started blogging tips because I'm really great with graphics, so I wanted to help other people, you know, with graphics and stuff like that. So
that is so cool.
It's blossomed.
Yeah, it has.
It's almost been a year, actually.
Oh, wow. Almost a year. So he had just been diagnosed, right? Or how old was he when he was diagnosed?
Well, he was diagnosed at, I think he was 14 months.
Okay, what happened?
He was eating cat food. So we're trying to get into the cat food, so I had to go get him.
It's like, Mom, I'm hungry.
A moment with him.
He's seeking some crunch.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
He was diagnosed Failure to Thrive, and then they were like, well, there's something else going on. Did you have to push for the genetic testing?
Actually, no. Our pediatrician was really great.
Oh, that's nice.
Since he was having so many issues, you know, after we left the hospital, he sent us to a craniofacial doctor. He sent us to a gastroenterologist. He sent us to a pulmonologist, everything. And he said, let me go ahead and send you to genetics. You know, just to dot our I's and cross our T's. We went, there was a long waiting list, so we didn't get in with them. I think it was July we got in finally, so it was a couple months after we got the referral. It was a microarray.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that came back with nothing, and he said, that usually doesn't mean that there's nothing there. So he had us come back that December to do a more extensive genetic testing called the whole genome sequencing.
Oh, boy.
Or WES, W-E-S.
Okay.
Where they took Jackson's blood, my blood, and my husband's blood, and they sent it off. And he said it could take about 4 to 6 months, you know, before you what? Get results.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was like, oh. But luckily, it was only 4 months.
Wow.
We got the call that April with the news. And apparently, it was this, you know, since it's so rare, it wasn't even on their radar. They thought he had Angelman syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
Because there were similarities. But mm-hmm. they said there's a Dirk, you know, he has Dirk 1A syndrome, and they have one other person in Alabama, you know, HIPAA, they couldn't tell me who, but there was another family nearby.
Wow. Yeah. I am, like, really happy to hear that your pediatrician was sending you
everywhere.
and you didn't have to do advocating, because I feel like so many families, they're like, I know there's something off. I need some answers. Someone help us. And they keep like hitting dead ends. Doctors don't want to do genetic testing, or they don't want to push for it sometimes because it's expensive and it's time consuming. And
I think it would be less expensive in the long run than when they do it, you know, if they just did it, because they would have an answer. They wouldn't have to keep, you know, sending for test.
Totally.
I think everyone should do the genetic testing. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's fair for other families. Because I had a friend in Pensacola. She had to fight a lot for her son. Like, I don't think he needs a genetic testing, because the microwave array came back normal, like ours. So they're like, no.
It's crazy. It's a lot over here on the West Coast, too, where families have to really push for the genetic testing. Okay, so you mentioned that Jackson is in OT, speech, and PT. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How does that look for you? What kind of, can you talk about your journey through therapies a little bit?
I actually love that he's in therapy. I feel like he's progressing.
Yay.
Well, with therapy. We started PT in October 2017 for his pediatrician recommendation, because he wasn't rolling or anything. I think he was probably 8 months old at that point. Mm-hmm. So he had really low tone. And since beginning PT, he started army crawling and eventually, you know, crawling on all four.
Mm-hmm.
He walked late too, but that's normal with the Dirk 1A children. They meet their milestones later on. But like OT, his fine motor skills have really blossomed. Like he can do the pincer grip.
Yay.
Really well. And he, you know, those Melissa and Doug toys where they have the threading. He knows how to thread it now. He just has a hard time to use the other hand to pull it, but he's getting there.
Oh, yeah,
it's
so
neat seeing him progress with all the therapies.
Yeah, for sure.
And speech too. She has this notebook with pictures, and he's able, like 50-50, but still neat to know that he can point on, you know, what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I mean, he can't verbally communicate, but he does, you know, body language, you can point.
Does he use that at home at all? Pointing to pictures and things like that at home to tell you what he wants?
Yeah. Yes. Like, he'll point at the TV. Currently, he loves Moana, Trolls, and Coco. He'll point at the TV for that. He'll point at his mouth for a bottle, or if he wants the fruit pouches. He hasn't done more for a while now. He seems to just point at his mouth more. With that, but pointing helps a lot.
He's telling you.
You know how to point, he would just try, and I couldn't figure out what he wanted. But
it's amazing, just these little things that we take for granted.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. His brother started babbling and talking by like a year old. That's very different.
Oh yeah.
I try not. You can't compare. They're both different.
Yeah. And how old's your older son?
He's 5. He'll be 6 in August.
Okay.
So they're about 3.5 years apart.
Okay.
So fun. Oh.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Keeps you busy.
Oh, yeah. They both do.
Yeah.
So I have a question. So I know it's a little bit tricky balancing having a kiddo with special needs and also having a more neurotypical kiddo, making sure that they have even amounts of attention and they both feel that love, which we know is there, but I know that sometimes those more neurotypical kiddos can be like, ah, I'm here too. How do you work through that?
It's really hard. It's, you know, JJ was, he was used to being the only child for 3.5 years, a big mama's boy. But I try to make it a point to take him to the movies. It's hard because, you know, my husband's in the military. He goes away to training.
Mm-hmm.
More frequently now, so it's difficult, but I try to, you know, go to the movies with him, go catch his favorite movie, you know, take him to get ice cream or candy while we're out, you know, focusing on him, or take him to the park, or just even cuddling, even. He just likes the big cuddle bug like me, so.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I just try to make it a point to take him out by himself so he feels that, you know, mommy. He's 5. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he senses why, but it's hard to understand.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. And hard to grasp, you know, why he's... Yeah, and hard to grasp why his little brother, you know, isn't talking yet, and he goes to all these appointments. I mean, that's a hard thing for a young kid like that to grasp.
He even gets jealous. He's like, why can't I go to the doctor?
Yeah. I want to go play.
Siblings always do that. For sure.
And yeah. When Jackson was hospitalized for a week, he loved wearing his pajamas and coming over to see us, you know, at night and watching movies with us. So whenever we would pass by a hospital, we'd be like, oh, are we gonna wear PJs in?
Has that memory.
I want to be like, no, it's not.
No, we don't want to go there.
I want to be here.
No.
We had fun despite the circumstances, which made it a little easier on this.
Yeah, that's good for sure.
Bless his heart. Oh. Yeah. Mom, let's go to the hospital and get in our PJs and watch a movie.
Mom's trying to avoid that.
Oh, man.
That's, I like so it.
Cute.
That was a good question.
That was. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about you and your self-care.
Yes.
All right, so we chatted a little bit about your Olympic lifting and all of your workout programs that keep you balanced and happy. Let's talk more about that. I think that's really important.
Well, I mentioned blogging is,
yes,
kind of a self-care. It's, you know, writing our story or writing anything. It's just very therapeutic for me.
Mm-hmm.
I also like to try to hit up the movies with my girlfriends maybe once a month if we can, you know, get to it. But catch a movie, go eat lunch or dinner, or even just grab a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Or my biggest thing is catching up on crime shows. I don't know if you guys are really big into Investigation Discovery, but
oh no,
I love that channel.
Yeah.
My husband always thinks I'm plotting to kill him.
Oh my god.
I have a really good friend who is really into crime TV, and she listens to a podcast, and I don't remember what it is, but it's like a crime TV podcast, and I'm like, you're gonna kill someone someday.
My friend likes watching YouTube. There's a girl, her name is Stephanie. I think it's Stephanie Barlow or something like that, but she recently quit her full-time job to talk about crime, which I think is awesome.
Oh, what? That's gonna be your next gig. Add that to the blog.
Yeah, there you go.
And how funny. That and then working out, that's all my self-care.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. I feel like blogs are like the new baby books.
Yes.
You know, because it's so important to document all of these memories that you have and all of these things that you're going through to remember how hard it was, especially with Jackson, how hard it was when he was born and when he was an infant and in and out of the hospital. And now he's thriving, and you can go back and look and be like, wow, I remember how I felt that day. I didn't know how I was going to make it through. And now here we are.
Look how far we've come.
Yeah. Yes. And I think that that component of the blogs are just hands down my favorite.
You know, when I see his pictures from 2 years ago, like, oh my God. Because like you said, I didn't think we would make it. I didn't think he would even survive because he was so jaundiced and dehydrated. To see him now, I'm like, a little chunky thing, a little bit.
It's amazing. So I think that's the coolest thing is to be able to see that progress. And in the meantime, you're helping out all these other families who are like, I'm dealing with this right now. So
or dealing with something similar.
Exactly. Yeah. And so to see where you guys have made it, I know every kiddo is different and every situation is unique, but to see where you are now and how you got there, the steps that you took to get there, the fact that you didn't give up, Jackson didn't give up.
So motivating.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, that's you. Oh, yeah, thank you.
And so then I guess on that note, too, like, what advice would you give other moms?
Definitely don't give up. Trust your mommy gut.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to ask for help.
That's a big one.
You know, it's hard to find time for yourself. Oh, even if it's like an hour, you know, to give you time in the shower. Drink a cup of coffee, chillax, you know, uninterrupted. Okay? It's still time to yourself. Definitely reaching out. I like talking to other, you know, families with DRG1A syndrome. I've met two so far, one in Pensacola, and I've met another up in, I think, Durham, North Carolina. So.
Just find your family, find your community.
Find your tribe and don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's the hardest thing, I think, for moms especially, is to ask for help and to show that you can't do it alone. That can be really hard.
Yeah, I had one day, it's been a while, but it was just a really bad day, and I was crying on the phone, and I was like, hey, babe, can I please, I don't know, I think I wanted to just work out in the garage for 30 minutes by myself, you know, nothing. And he totally got it. He's like, yeah, go ahead, work out. He took the kids. So.
Oh, good.
Having that support system is huge.
Even if it's like a neighbor or like a friend who can help out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And it probably, I mean, I can see how it would feel silly to, you know, knock on your neighbor's door and say, hey, can you please just sit here with my kids so I can just have a minute to breathe and go get some exercise. I'll bring you back some ice cream, you know. But we take those people for granted, and we want to make sure that they know that we're human and it's okay to have help. And
so especially military families.
Yeah.
Because we don't have our family here. Mm-hmm. You know, our
That's
friends
true.
Are family. So, yeah, my friends, I really, really need help.
Yeah.
I love that.
I wish I had my mom nearby.
Yeah.
In Okinawa, Japan.
Your mom is in Japan?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That's a long ways away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. Okay, so this is something that I wanted to start throwing in our interviews, was just to ask if you have any questions for us.
Yes, I do.
Oh, good. And see, now we're getting thrown on the spot.
Yes.
That makes me nervous.
Well, what do you enjoy most about being an occupational therapist?
Everything?
No, not everything.
No, I don't enjoy anything. Are you going first?
Yeah, I'll go first. Okay. My favorite thing is building that relationship with the families, like not just the kid, but also the parents or the caregivers, and building that relationship and feeling like you're making that difference in their lives, and they're excited to see you and they're excited to talk to you. And then one day they come to you and they say, guess what my kid did? Or they send you a picture or a video and they're like, look what my kid did today. And you're just, it like, I cry every time because I'm like, I can't believe I did that.
I know.
It's just, that's my favorite thing.
Yeah. You have a hand in helping these kids be successful, and it goes along with what you said about when they come into you and you've been working on a skill for so long, like let's say shoe tying. And that's my favorite because I love to teach shoe tying, and they get so frustrated while they're working on it. And we practice. And I had one kid who was doing it this weird way. And I was like, let's try it my way. Let's just try it. Let's just practice. And then one day, randomly, the kiddo came in. And I was like, all right, let's get your shoes tied. And the kiddo is like, oh, I can do it your way. And I didn't prompt him. I didn't say anything. And he just whipped it out and tied a shoe. And I'm just sitting back.
Like, oh my god!
I know. And the kid's looking at me like, Rachel, it's fine.
It's just my shoe. My shoes.
Yeah, yeah. But it is. There's those little moments where things stick and they click, and you can see it in their eyes and in their heart that they love coming to you, mm-hmm. whether they can verbalize it or not. But they're enjoying it, and it's helping them, and the kids can recognize that, not just the parents telling them, this is helping you, this is good for you. It's like the kids are like,
they know.
Heck yeah, OT.
Yeah, they know. Yes.
That was a great question.
What is your advice for newly diagnosed families with a sensory processing disorder?
My first piece of advice, I have a lot of advice. I would say empathize first. Empathize with your child. Try to identify how they might be feeling. And when they're in a moment where they're battling with a sensory challenge, you can say, man, I totally know how you feel. And I'm so sorry you're feeling this way. Let's come up with a plan to make you feel better. So empathize would be my first piece of advice.
I agree. I know, with families who are just getting a diagnosis or they're just starting therapy, just to take it one day at a time and ask all the mm-hmm. questions. Like, there's no dumb question when it comes to your kids. So just ask all the questions. And if you don't understand the answer, then make sure you clarify so that you can understand it to be able to help your child.
Yeah.
Because I think as therapists, sometimes we throw out our jargon and the families don't always understand. Yeah. And so asking to clarify is huge.
And I think it's so normal for us to get a kiddo on our caseload that's struggling with sensory. We do our thing, we explain it, and to us, it's just
everyday just life
sensory challenges. And I think that it's important for families to just realize that it's going to be okay, regardless of how extensive the sensory differences are, and just research and find answers, but don't get overwhelmed. And like Jessica said, just take it one day at a time and ask all the questions and soak everything up and empathize.
Yeah. Boom. Question. Ta-da.
I could go on and on about that. I just, it's such an important topic to talk about.
For sure.
Yes. Because in our journey, we're just like, sensory is life. And everywhere I go, I talk to people, I'm like, do you know about sensory processing disorder? And they're like, no. I'm like, one day you will. I need like an elevator pitch about sensory, like what it is and how it affects kids and people.
Yeah, 30 seconds. You have 30 seconds.
Yeah. They're going to look at me like, this girl's crazy. Like, what's happening? All right, well, I think that just about sums it all up.
Yeah. I think we asked all our questions. I'll think of questions later on and being like, oh, I should have asked that.
Yes. And we'll link.
Mom brain.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mom brain for sure.
So we will link your blog in our show notes so everyone can find you. And you are on Instagram, right?
Yes.
What's your Instagram handle?
It's Jackson Mom Jenny.
Okay.
88.
Okay. We'll tag that too, just in case you didn't hear it. And we are so grateful that you took this time on a Saturday to spend with us.
I'm actually flattered that you guys wanted to interview me.
Yes.
I'm like, bad girl.
Love it.
Well, I love it. We appreciate it. And yes, we can't wait for, I mean, maybe there will be more DIRK1A people who will reach out to you after hearing this. And they'll be like, oh my gosh, more people to add to your community.
Yes, definitely.
True. True. I hope so.
Yes.
I hope so.
Okay. Well, yep. Thank you so much. And we will talk with you soon.
Thank you.
All right. That was a wonderful, heartwarming interview.
It totally was. I like Jennifer so much. And it's amazing that you can just meet these people on Instagram and just be able to talk to them. It's so fun.
You don't have to tell me twice. I have met people in real life.
Yes, you are.
Who I met on Instagram.
You're the Instagram meeting people in real life queen.
I love it. So we're going to plan on meeting Jennifer in real life at some point.
Yeah. Maybe she'll, maybe they'll get stationed out here in Idaho. She said she's never been to the West Coast, so maybe it's time.
They wouldn't get stationed here in Idaho. They'd get stationed in San Diego.
Okay, whatever.
But that's still closer.
On the West Coast.
We could take a trip down to San Diego.
Oh, yes, we should.
Okay,
we would
Jennifer,
meet.
Make
who
that
else,
happen.
Who else was in San Diego? Erin.
Erin's in San Diego. Nicole's in San Diego. Close to San Diego.
We need to go down there.
Who else is in San Diego?
Raise your hand. Oh, yeah, you can't. I mean, virtual raise your hand.
Send us a hand-raising emoji, and we'll plan a trip where we come meet everyone.
We're just going to have a big party in San Diego.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That would be fun.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Okay, anyways, off topic.
Thank you guys for being here. We hope that you loved this interview, and go give Jennifer some love.
Yes. Reach out to her. Follow her. Check her out.
All the things. If you have a minute, leave us a review. We would really appreciate that as well.
Yes. And thanks for being here.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thanks. So excited to work together and to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life.
This is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, sensory integration, and overall health and wellness. We do not know you or your child, therefore, we do not know any specific needs, therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist.